You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News read by Chris Mihalik with stories from the National Catholic Register, Catholic News Agency, and a Denver Catholic. The Father Desires Healing and Wholeness by Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is clear. The Father desires to heal his children. He healed the blind and lame, restored the leper to community, freed the possessed from oppression, and even brought the dead back to life. Each of these miracles points to a truth we must never forget. God wants to heal you. Too often we carry the wounds of trauma, sin, disappointment, or rejection as if they are ours to bear alone. We convince ourselves that we must fix ourselves, thinking with the culture that healing comes only through self-actualization, positive thinking, or self-help techniques, while there can be natural goods in self-awareness and growth. The Christian vision of healing is deeper, more holistic, and more transformative. Healing begins not with the self, but with God. The Father longs to bring wholeness into our lives. As Catholics, we have sometimes struggled to speak openly about mental health, though it touches nearly every family and parish. But if we believe we have a unity of body, mind, and soul, then we must also affirm that God desires healing in each of those areas. Mental health is not something outside of the gospel. It is a part of the abundant life Jesus came to bring us. When someone receives therapy or counseling, they are not betraying faith, but rather participating in God's providential care. Just as we go to a doctor for a broken bone, so too can we seek help for depression, anxiety, or the effects of trauma. These services, when grounded in truth and charity, are part of the Father's plan for our flourishing. Healing is always a cooperation between divine mercy and the means he gives us. We need to bring our wounds to God with confidence and trust in him. We must remember that nothing is impossible for God. Not just for me, but for us. Another temptation is to see healing as something purely individual. But Christian healing never ends with me. Every gift from the Father is meant to flow outward to build up the body of Christ. When you allow God to heal your wounds, you become an instrument of healing for others. Many are carrying heavy burdens, parents struggling with the demands of family life, teenagers navigating identity and belonging, the elderly facing isolation, those silently suffering mental illness, and those exhausted by the pace of life. Christ calls us to be a community of compassion where no one carries their wounds alone. Healing is also essential for those pursuing vocations. The more integrated priests, deacons, and religious are spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, the more freely they give of themselves. Seminaries and formation programs are increasingly recognizing that mental health care is integral to discerning and lifelong ministry. For full human flourishing, the Church always taught that God created us for abundant life. Jesus tells us, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This abundance does not mean a life free of suffering, but a life lived in communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Healing and wholeness are essential to our flourishing as sons and daughters of God. This flourishing enables us to serve one another in love. The more whole we are, the more we can listen patiently, forgive generously, and love sacrificially. Healing is never self-centered. It is always oriented toward a mission. A healed church is a missionary church. Gratitude for Catholic mental health work. I want to offer a word of gratitude to Catholic counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, and pastoral ministers. They are doing heroic work, building bridges between psychology and spirituality. They remind us that grace builds on nature and that God's mercy embraces every dimension of the human person. They help people bring their wounds to Jesus so that his love can bring them healing. To those engaged in Catholic mental health work, and specifically here in the Archdiocese of Denver, those who work with St. Raphael Counseling and Mount Tabor Counseling, thank you. You're helping to lift the burdens of God's children, to accompany them in their darkest valleys, and to point them toward the healing light of Christ. Your work is not simply a profession. It is a ministry of mercy and compassion, reflecting the mercy and compassion of Jesus, the Father's desire. At the heart stands one simple truth. The Father desires your healing and wholeness. He is not indifferent to your pain. He does not look at your wounds with frustration or impatience. Instead, he gazes on you with a love that longs to restore, renew, and make whole. He wants you to turn to him, surrender to him, and let him take care of it. It is not you telling God how to heal you, but allowing him to heal you in the manner he wants, as he knows what is good for us. Open your heart to that healing today. Do not be afraid to seek help. Do not be ashamed of your struggles. And above all, do not forget that your healing is not yours alone. It is a gift meant for the whole church. May the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit, make us whole, so that we may be instruments of his healing love in a world that longs for peace. 10 Lessons from Mother Cabrini to Inspire Us This Cabrini Day by Molly Johnson. Each year on the first Monday of October, Coloradans celebrate Cabrini Day, a holiday that honors the life and legacy of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, known to the faithful as Mother Cabrini. She was a woman of extraordinary faith and compassion whose influence stretched from the foothills of Colorado to communities across the United States and around the world. Her connection to Colorado is both historic and enduring. In the early 1900s, Mother Cabrini opened the Queen of Heaven Orphanage in Denver. She also established a summer camp for orphans in the foothills west of Denver, a site that would later become Mother Cabrini Shrine. For almost 80 years, pilgrims have come to the shrine in search of healing, peace, and inspiration, finding strength in Mother's example of faith and service. But Mother Cabrini's reach extended far beyond Colorado. She crossed the Atlantic more than 20 times, founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and established 67 schools, hospitals, and orphanages around the world. In 1946, she was canonized as the first American citizen saint, and in 1950, she was declared the patroness of immigrants. Her life continues to inspire people across cultures and continents. Cabrini Day reminds us that her legacy is alive in Colorado, across the nations, and throughout the world. As we celebrate this October, here are 10 lessons from Mother Cabrini's life that can guide us in faith and in daily living. Welcome the stranger. When Mother Cabrini arrived in New York in 1889, she quickly recognized the needs of immigrant families as they worked to build their new lives. In response, she established schools, orphanages, and hospitals that offered education, care, and hope for the future. Her work created places where people found dignity and belonging, and belonging, a living witness to the gospel's call to welcome the stranger and one another with love. Live generously. Even when resources were scarce, Mother Cabrini gave up herself completely. She poured out her time, energy, and love for the good of others. Her generosity shows that giving is not measured by abundance, but by willingness to serve without reserve. Persevere against the odds. Born premature in 1850, Mother Cabrini struggled with poor health throughout her life and was often told she was too frail and physically weak for religious life. Yet, she refused to be discouraged. With determination and trust in the heart of Jesus, she founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart and went on to establish 67 schools, hospitals, and orphanages around the world. Her life shows that perseverance, rooted in faith, can turn weakness into strength. Show compassion daily. Even while overseeing large institutions, Mother Cabrini never lost sight of personal encounters. She visited the sick, comforted children, and listened to families in need. Her life shows us that holiness is found not only in great accomplishments, but also in the daily acts of compassion that reveal Christ's love. Face fear with faith. As a child, Mother Cabrini nearly drowned, leaving her with lifelong fear of water. Still, she crossed the Atlantic more than 20 times to continue her mission of service. Her life shows us that courage is not the absence of fear, but the strength to move forward despite of it. Start small, dream big. Many of Mother Kribini's greatest works began with almost nothing, just a few of her missionary sisters, limited resources, and a trust in God. From those small beginnings grew schools, hospitals, and other missions that continue to serve today. Her story reminds us that great works of faith often start with humble steps. Find a way forward. Mother Kribini often encountered closed doors, lack of funding, resistance from leaders, or skepticism about her plans. Instead of giving up, she looked for another way. When told no, she searched for a yes elsewhere, turning setbacks into new opportunities to serve. Her example challenges us to face our own roadblocks with creativity, faith, and determination. Be open to God's plan. Mother Kribini longed to serve as a missionary in China, but Pope Leo XIII told her instead, not to the East, but to the West. That unexpected change brought her to America, where her ministry flourished. In our own lives, when plans shift or doors close, we can remain open to God's plan for us, trusting that His guidance can open doors we never expected. Carry hope forward. Mother Kribini inspired faith and courage in those she taught, served, and led, and her example continues to encourage people around the world today. We carry hope forward when we share our faith, nurture those entrusted to us, and strengthen our communities with love. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops recently invited all the faithful to be keepers of hope by taking the Kribini Pledge. As the Catholic Church in the United States observed World Day of Migrants and Refugees on October 4th and 5th. Keep prayer at the center. Amid her tireless work, Mother Kribini always returned to prayer. She drew her strength from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, beginning and ending each day in His presence. Her example shows that prayer is not separate from service, but the source that sustains it. Mother Kribini Shrine in Golden continues the mission of its patron saint every day, offering a place of prayer, pilgrimage, and hospitality where people encounter the Sacred Heart of Jesus and draw inspiration from Mother Kribini's life. How fortunate we are in Colorado to have this sacred space in our backyard where we can come to seek her intercession and guidance. This year, Kribini Day will be celebrated at the Shrine on Sunday, October 5th, with the Masses at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. in Spanish. A celebration of nations will take place at the Shrine that afternoon from 12:30 to 4 p.m., highlighting food, culture, and traditions from around the world. That evening at 5 p.m., the Shrine will offer an adoration hour with music, prayer, and readings from Mother Kribini, with the opportunity for confessions and a Jubilee Year of Hope indulgence. On Monday, October 6th, Kribini Day will conclude at the Shrine with a noon Mass. All are invited to come, pray, and honor Mother Kribini's legacy, carrying forward her lessons of faith, courage, and hope. Pray the Mental Health Novena of Respect this month. You're invited to join in the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Novena for Mental Health from October 10th through the 18th, a time of prayer and solidarity for those struggling with mental health challenges and for those who care for them. The Novena begins on World Mental Health Day and concludes on the Feast of St. Luke, patron saint of healthcare. Each day follows a prayer, learn, act format to help Catholics reflect, intercede, and respond compassionately. Praying this novena during Respect Life Month reminds us that upholding human dignity includes accompanying those who suffer in body, mind, or soul. To participate in the novena, visit uscccb.org/mental-health-novena. Black Catholic leader condemns threats, loss of civility after Kirk's assassination. The president of the National Association of Black Catholic Administrators, decried the loss of civility and respect in public discourse after the assassination of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, and said black bishops received death threats. It is with sadness that we acknowledge the death of Charlie Kirk. Regardless of our individual opinions about his work or words, every life is sacred, Father Reginald Norman said in a statement. Kirk was shot dead while speaking at a Utah Valley University meet on September 10th. In the days following his death, however, we have seen something even more tragic than the loss of one life. The loss of civility and respect for one another, he continued. Threats against black bishops and Catholic leaders are deeply troubling. Such behavior has no place among people of faith or in a society rooted in justice. The black community in particular continues to feel its contributions overlooked or erased, Norman wrote. While some public figures are allowed to disparage black people without consequence, when black voices rise in defense of their contributions or offer differing perspectives, they are too often silenced or threatened. This imbalance is unjust. Norman told CNA in an interview that black Catholics voiced concerns about some of Kirk's statements. I sit in a lot of meetings and committees on the local and national level, Norman told CNA in an interview, and every single meeting that I've gone to since this incident, black people are very upset by some of the comments that have been made before him. For example, black Catholics expressed discomfort with the TPUSA founder being cast as a martyr, though Kirk's death is a tragedy to be mourned, Norman said. Some of Kirk's comments hurt black people, Norman said, such as comments made by Kirk during a July 14, 2023 episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, mentioning four black women, Michelle Obama, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, television host Joy Reid, and Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, of the Democrat from Texas. Kirk said, "We had said these women were affirmative action picks, we would have been called racist. Now they're coming out and saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. We know you do not have the brain processing power to be taken really seriously." Norman said the comments were offensive toward black people. "I don't know Kirk personally," Norman said. "I only know what the media reports, and I've seen some great things that he said, but I've also seen some negative things that he said, and in this day and age, we should be trying to pull ourselves, not separate." Norman said that one of the bishops who wrote something on DEI, which wasn't even related to the assassination, and it went out there, and then the article was pulled. "He's been getting death threats ever since," Norman said, noting that authorities are investigating the threats. Norman did not confirm the identity of the bishop, but a September 8th article by Washington Archdiocese Auxiliary Bishop Roy Campbell, titled "DEI Means God," was taken down by the USCCB on September 12th, 2 days after Kirk's death, according to the Black Messenger. The USCCB told the publication at the time that the article had not undergone the proper internal review and was taken down as a result. Campbell serves as the chairman of the USCCB's Subcommittee of African American Affairs, part of the Committee on Cultural Diversity in the Church. He and the Archdiocese of Washington did not immediately reply to a request for comment. "This incident," Norman said, "relates to the fact that just as Kirk was free to say whatever he wanted to say, other people who might have contrasting views should also be able to be free to say what they want to say without being threatened or harmed." According to Norman, "We're not learning from the loss of Kirk's life as other people who might have a contrasting view are being threatened and harmed. That's even more dangerous because it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. And we just seem to continue going forward with more hate, more harm, more crime, more threats," Norman said, adding, "And shouldn't we learn from the example of this life? This man was tragically killed not by his own fault. Shouldn't we be putting our efforts to stop that from happening rather than allowing it to continue just because someone had a different opinion?" Abortion declines, even in states where it is legal. Here is a roundup of recent pro-life and abortion-related news. The number of abortions in clinics in pro-abortion states saw a decline in the first half of 2025. The report by the pro-abortion group Guttmacher found a 5% decrease in abortions provided by clinics from the same period in 2024. The review found declines in clinician-provided abortions in 22 states, all states that did not have abortion bans. The report also found an 8% decline in out-of-state travel for abortion to states with fewer protections for unborn children. States with protections for unborn children at 6 weeks, such as Florida and Iowa, also saw a decline in abortions so far this year. The report did not take mail-in or telehealth abortion pill numbers into account. Michael New, a professor at Bush School of Business at the Catholic University of America and a scholar at Charlotte Lozier Institute, called the report good news, but noted that the survey wasn't comprehensive. It does not appear that Guttmacher collects data on telehealth abortions from states where strong pro-life laws are in effect. But abortion is not banned, he told CNA. Pro-lifers should take these figures with a grain of salt. In terms of mail-in telehealth abortions, New noted that pro-lifers should continue to push for more timely action to protect mothers and preborn children. The Trump administration is within its power to halt telehealth abortions, he said, noting that Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently said the FDA would conduct a new review of abortion pills. Government takes actions against Virginia school system following alleged abortions for students. The U.S. Department of Education has called on a Virginia public school system to investigate reports that high school staff facilitated abortions for students without their parents' knowledge. The department took action against Fairfax County public schools under the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendments, according to a September 29th press release. The investigation follows reports that a Centerville High School social worker scheduled and paid for an abortion for a minor and pressured a second student to have an abortion. The federal agency is requiring the Fairfax investigate whether this practice has continued. The Fairfax report shocks the conscience, the department's acting general counsel, Candace Jackson, said in a statement. Children do not belong to the government. Decisions touching deeply held values should be made within loving families, Jackson said. It is both morally unconscionable and patently illegal for school officials to keep parents in the dark about such intimate, life-altering procedures pertaining to their children. Virginia Bishop speaks out against potential abortion rights amendment. Bishop Michael Burbidge of Arlington, Virginia, this week spoke out against a proposed amendment to create a right to abortion in the Virginia Constitution. While the amendment is not yet on the ballot, the outcome of this fall's election will determine whether it advances or is halted, he said in an October Respect Life Month. If adopted, this amendment would embed in our state constitution a purported right to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy with no age limits, he said. He noted that Virginia has some modest protections for life, but the proposed amendment would likely make it impossible to pass similar protective laws in the future. Protections for unborn children, parental consent, and for conscience rights would be severely jeopardized under this amendment. Parents have the sacred right to be involved in the most serious decisions facing their daughters, Burbidge said. No one should ever be forced to participate in or pay for an abortion. Planned Parenthood closes its only two clinics in Louisiana. The only two Planned Parenthood locations in Louisiana closed this week following the Trump administration's decision to halt federal funding for abortion providers for a year. The president of Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast cited political attacks as the reason for the closures of the two facilities located in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. The closure follows a court ruling last month enforcing the Trump administration's defunding of Planned Parenthood, which halted government funding to abortion providers. Louisiana authorities issue an arrest warrant for California abortionists. Louisiana authorities issued an arrest warrant for a California doctor for allegedly providing abortion drugs to a woman without consulting her. The woman said she felt coerced into the abortion by her boyfriend at the time, who arranged for an abortionist in California to prescribe drugs to induce a chemical abortion. The same abortionist, Remy Coito, has faced charges for telehealth abortions after the abortionist allegedly sent abortion pills to Texas, where they are illegal. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.